WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump confirms he's okayed covert CIA operations in Venezuela. CBS's Ed O'Keefe asked,
does the CIA have authority to take out Maduro?
Oh, I don't want to answer a question like that. That's a ridiculous question for me to be given. Not really a ridiculous question, but wouldn't it be a ridiculous question for me to answer?
Hamas returned the bodies of two more hostages to Israel last night, but the remains of 19 others are still unaccounted for. Linda Gradstein from Jerusalem.
Hamas said it has now returned all of the bodies of the hostages that it was able to reach. Israel denied the Hamas claim and said that Hamas is violating the terms of the ceasefire.
The highest paid soccer players in the world? Forbes' Justin Birnbaum on the magazine's new list.
Cristiano Ronaldo leads the way for the sixth time in the last decade, and he's trailed by his longtime rival, Lionel Messi.
Ronaldo makes $280 mil a year in salary and endorsements. Messi, $130. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Come out to support the Boys of Winter. Join in the excitement and the thrill of each Wisconsin Rapids River Kings home game. Come cheer on the team with your friends at 105.5 FM.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. A bill aimed at strengthening penalties against perpetrators of sextortion is heading to the governor's desk. Isabella Nieto has more.
Braden's law stems from the death of a D.C. Everest High School student, Braden Bone, who took his life after being targeted by an organized sexual extortion ring. The legislation establishes sexual extortion as a new crime and imposes severe penalties, including up to a 60-year sentence if the extortion results in the death of the victim. The bill passage comes less than 6 months after it was introduced to the legislature by a handful of legislators in April, including area reps Pat Snyder, Brent Jacobson, and John Spiros, joined by state senators Jesse James and Corey Tomchek in the effort. A spokesperson for Governor Tony Evers told WBAY in Green Bay that the governor intends to sign the legislation.
Wisconsin Department of Health Services officials are warning residents that flu activity will begin increasing rapidly as colder weather starts to settle in. Lisa Hill reports.
The agency has reported that flu activity is minimal and stable currently, but other respiratory illness activity like COVID-19 is starting to increase. Officials are reminding residents to take steps to protect themselves against respiratory illnesses, like ensuring they're up to date on vaccines, thoroughly washing their hands regularly, and staying home when they're sick to prevent further spread.
The DNR is asking for public comment on adding parking and a campground host site to the Willow Flowage Scenic Waters area. Located in Oneida County, this large reservoir has over 70 miles of shoreline, many islands, numerous boat landings, and rustic camping opportunities. The comment period is open through November 14th on the DNR's website. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Game three for the Brewers and Dodgers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The Brewers and Dodgers battling to advance to the World Series next week, continuing tonight in Los Angeles. Second baseman Bryce Terang on Milwaukee being down 2-0.
We know where we're at, and we know what we got to do, and I trust these guys in the locker room to figure it out, and we got a good group of guys, and we've fought all year, so I think heading to L.A., I mean, we know what we got to do.
How tough have the Dodgers pitchers been? The Brewers, Jake Bowers.
Yeah, I mean, these guys are dialed in right now. Seems like you can go an entire game without seeing a pitch over the heart of the plate, so obviously it's tough, but that being said, we got to take it upon ourselves to try and do something to disrupt their timing and get them a little bit more uncomfortable on the mound.
Football, the Wisconsin Badgers are 2-4, and it doesn't get any easier. They host Ohio State, the number one ranked team in the nation, kickoff at 2:30 Saturday in Madison. The Packers are in Arizona on Sunday against the Cardinals at 3:25. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
Hi, meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Mostly cloudy skies today with a few showers around, mainly later in the afternoon, highs in the lower 60s. Scattered showers tonight, perhaps a rumble of thunder as well, lows in the lower 50s. On Friday, partly sunny and warm for mid-October, highs in the low to mid 70s. Right now, it's 51.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
You wanted to be cool, which led you to smoking, which led to a pack a day. Then you met that special someone, which led to starting a life with them, which led to wanting to live longer, which led to quitting. Then you heard you may be at risk for lung cancer, which led you to getting a low-dose CT scan. If you smoked, get scanned. Talk to your doctor and learn more at savedbythescan.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll be live from WXCO in Wausau, Wisconsin for their open house. Chad Holmes from XCO is along, as well as Dan Schaefer on the recombobulation area on politics. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. Nice to have you back here up north at 7:06 on a Thursday morning, October 16th. Parker Olson producing things down in Madison Studio A2. Coming up in our next half hour, we're going to be talking to Cindy Greening, who is one of the organizers of the many No Kings protests that will be taking place around Wisconsin in nearly 100 locations on Saturday. And then there will be millions of people around the country who are protesting as well, the things that the Trump administration has been doing for the past 9 months here. Rob from Tigerton says, good morning from Tigerton, cloudy and 46 degrees with a beautiful sunrise. I'm going to have to take your word for it, Rob, because you're a little farther to the east than we are. So I haven't seen that sunrise yet, but it should be, and forward to it. We also look forward to conversation with all kinds of folks, including candidates who are going to be part of next year's race. And now, we try to let them know that this is a place where they can come in anytime, say hello, let us know what kind of things they're up to on their many campaigns. There are several candidates, for example, for governor, and it's always nice when one of them is able to drop in and give us an update on their race. And that is the case right now with State Senator Kelda Royce from Madison, who is running for governor and is in the was in the Chippewa Valley overnight and joins us from Eau Claire this morning. Kelda, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. It's great to be with you.
It's good to see you as well. I know you've had a long, busy day of travel. Yeah, no doubt meeting a lot of folks. And of course, having to find time to make those phone calls as well that every candidate has to do. Talk about some of your recent travels.
Yeah, well, it's been great. Yesterday, we were in Jackson County, talked to about 24 very, very enthusiastic Democrats, and then we went to the people's protest in Eau Claire, and they've been continuously protesting for every week since Trump was inaugurated. That was really inspiring to see the community support. I was able to stop into the Eau Claire Leader Telegram and have an interview with Marshall Bauman there. And today I'll be at the Coffee Clutch in Eau Claire, and then later on to Chippewa Falls, meeting with some union folks, and finishing the night at Rusk County's Pizza and Politics. So it's a great, fun itinerary. And you can hear I'm a little hoarse because all I do is talk on the phone while we're in the car.
Absolutely, you do. This is very reminiscent for me of 2018 when I was helping out my friend Dana Walks when he was running for governor. You are just on the road constantly. You are all the time talking to people and making new friends, finding new donors, telling people about your positions, and especially in a multiple candidate field, what it is about you that stands out. And so as far as the trip that you've been making right now, again, you're used to people knowing you around Madison. You do have some statewide name ID, but there's always new people to meet out there. So tell folks that you're going to meet some people for the first time today at the Eau Claire Democratic Party Coffee Clutch, something they do every week. It's a great little informal conversation. I've been there a few times myself. So you want to give us your kind of your opening remarks to the people in that room that aren't familiar with you?
Sure. I'm Kel DeRoys. I'm a Democratic candidate for governor, and I've been serving in the state Senate since 2020. I previously served two terms in the assembly, but more importantly, I'm a small business owner, mom and stepmom of five. I'm an attorney by training, and I've been on the front lines in every progressive fight for about 25 years. So whatever our legislative situation is in 2027, we're going to need a governor who's capable of getting things done. And I have spent my professional life doing that in all kinds of tough situations. I'm really passionate about public education, about economic opportunity, raising wages and lowering costs for things like housing and childcare, and making sure that every Wisconsinite has healthcare. And these are going to be big, big fights that we're going to be up against in the next couple of years. We also need a governor who's going to stand up to Trump and be unequivocal and honest about what he is doing to our country and our freedoms.
We're talking to State Senator Kel DeRoys, Democratic candidate for governor, who's visiting through the Chippewa Valley right now. And let's talk about the field in the race and how things were changed last week with the decision by Attorney General Josh Call not to join the race for governor, but instead to run for a third term as state attorney general. Now, there are impacts there, not only on the governor's race, on you and everybody else who'd already announced, but frankly, what it means for the state that Josh Call has decided to run for a third term and perhaps serve as attorney general for another 4 years. What in your mind overall is the big impact of Josh Call deciding what he decided?
Well, the biggest impact is that Josh Call, who has been a great attorney general for us, and especially in this really dangerous Trump era, is going to be able to continue doing that. I think he understands more than anyone what is at stake and why we need a Democratic attorney general. And at the end of the day, he is excellent at his job, and he did not want to leave Wisconsin in a position where we'd be struggling to elect a new governor and a new attorney general at the same time, just because it is so essential that we have a Democratic governor to protect us from the harms of the Republican regime in Washington.
This is also why political predictions are dangerous and why we appreciate people listening to this show. But don't ever wager money based on the things that I say, because I would not have been surprised if Josh Call had gotten into the governor's race. And what I told people when we'd have these conversations, my response was, and then Kel DeRoys is going to be a slam dunk attorney general, you know, for the state. But again, it all depends on what, you know, people make their decisions the way that they do. And so now you running for governor, I mean, there's still one or two question marks out there, people looking at whether former Lieutenant Governor, you know, Mandela Barnes will be getting into the race. Mm-hmm. You get the rumors about everybody, about Ron Kind and everybody else. But from a broad standpoint, looking at this field, I notice mm-hmm. a lot of similarities to 2018. Lots of candidates. And, you know, frankly, as much as you want to stand out, but talking about the field, there's not a bad choice in the bunch. This is a nice problem for voters to have, to get to know you mm-hmm. and everybody else in the race.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, and a lot of these folks are friends of mine. They're people that I've worked with in recent years, folks I've mentored. And so that's a great choice. I mean, there definitely are some issue areas where there's differences between the candidates, among the candidates. And we'll certainly, I'm sure, be talking about those as the race continues. But yes, I mean, we do want to have robust primaries because I think it helps make our candidates stronger. I will say I'm the only candidate in the race that's been through a primary before. And so to have had the opportunity, as I have, to travel throughout the state of Wisconsin, not just in 2018, but over the last 5 years in the state Senate, and even beyond that, when I was the head of NARAL Pro-Choice Wisconsin, I've always made it a priority to get out of Madison, get out of Milwaukee, and really connect with people around the state. I think that's really, really important for our next governor. And it's certainly going to be important for voters all around the state who are going to be participating in this primary.
You know, there is one candidate who's running ads already that we can hear on our radio network, and we're not going to get into the particulars of every candidate, but when candidate Ryan Sternad is running commercials saying, you know, basically running as the blue collar candidate, he's a beer vendor, you know, at American Family Field, and has, you know, the dirt under the fingernails aspect to it. It always kind of hits me, because as somebody who has served in elected office and has covered, you know, elected officials for all these years, you know, it's not It's not not work to have to do what you and other people do. The work of representation, the work of legislating is, you know, very much a real job that requires real experience to do.
Yeah, I think that is one thing I've learned in, you know, I've run a successful small business for 13 years that I founded. I'm an attorney by training. I ran a statewide nonprofit focused on reproductive rights for 4 years. But I do think that the most difficult things that I have learned over 25 years are how to get things done with people whom you don't agree with all the time. And in Wisconsin, we are a purple state and everyone has good ideas. Everyone has something to offer. Not every idea is good, but what I have learned is that if you are willing and capable of digging into the details, building relationships and listening to people, you actually can get a lot done, even in situations that might seem politically very difficult. You know, I've had some of my biggest political victories on passing bills and policies in Republican legislatures. And I think people would be surprised. They'd say, oh, Kel DeRoyce, she's from Madison. She's, you know, she's a Democrat. She's liberal. She's an abortion rights supporter. And they would be surprised to learn that I helped pass the first pro-choice law in 30 years through an anti-choice Republican assembly before I was even ever elected to anything. And you do, you learn, you kind of get bruises and scars from these battles and you learn and you become better and you mature. And I think, you know, my hope is that I'm always going to continue learning and becoming better. But I feel like, yes, it is, there are fundamental skill sets that you learn over time doing this work. And those are going to be really important as we think about who's going to lead the state in the coming years.
Senator Kel DeRoyce, candidate for governor, is our guest. Now, contrast what you just said about your experience and having to work across the aisle to potentially get things done. Contrast that with one potential opponent, and that would be Congressman Tom Tiffany on the Republican side and running for governor. And where, again, he'll say, well, I was in the state Senate and now I've served in Congress. But where do you think the differences end when it comes to your level of experience versus his?
Well, I don't think Tom Tiffany has a lot of bipartisan accomplishments under his belt. In fact, I wonder, you know, whether he's even holding regular town halls in his district. I think one thing that's been really disappointing about Tom Tiffany is that he's willing to just do whatever Trump wants, whether it's good for Wisconsin or not. And I think that's hard because we deserve here in Wisconsin leaders of any party who will think for themselves, who will be their own men and women, and not be beholden to what some party boss or special interest or corporate overlord tells them. And I think if you look at Tom Tiffany's voting record, that's the most disappointing thing about it. Whatever Trump wants, he's the rubber stamp. He's the yes man. He, you know, of course, he's voted for some heinous things. He's voted for a complete abortion ban at 6 weeks before most people even know they're pregnant. That's the kind of ban that are killing women in states that have implemented them since the Dobbs decision. He's voted to throw hundreds of thousands of Wisconsinites off their health insurance and cause our premiums to skyrocket. That's not the kind of leadership Wisconsinites want.
No, and he, I also noticed he tried to have it both ways on abortion when he got into the race and was asked about it and said, well, I support state law as it is right now.
Oh, yeah, right. Give me a break. This is a guy that spent his whole career grandstanding on this issue and now, like so many other Republicans, wants to run away from it now that it's unpopular. But, you know, I think about his approach to lawmaking versus what I've spent the last few years doing, where I've worked closely with Republican colleagues in the legislature to try to expand access to nurse practitioners. We've got a huge healthcare workforce and healthcare provider shortage across the state. And for many years, I was the only Democrat on that bill. Actually, my own Democratic governor had vetoed it several times, but we compromised, we made changes, we worked with stakeholders, including physicians and nurses, and finally we were able to get that bill done. And that's gonna have a positive impact in terms of people's ability to get healthcare, especially in rural areas of the state. That's the work of being governor, that's leadership.
Our guest is Senator Kel DeRoyce from Madison, candidate for governor, reporting in from the Chippewa Valley, where she's been touring throughout the state and is on her way to Rusk County later on today to continue her campaign, getting to meet people. She'll be at the Eau Claire Democratic Party Coffee Clutch at their headquarters a little bit later on this morning. Still ahead, we'll be talking to Cindy Greening, who's organizing some of the No Kings protest rallies that'll be held in nearly 100 places around Wisconsin coming up on Saturday. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thank you for making this a place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Right now at the Home Depot, shop fall savings and get up to 40% off select appliances like Samsung. Upgrade your kitchen this fall with the Samsung Bespoke 4-Door Refrigerator. Now featuring the dual auto ice maker with sphere ice, only at the Home Depot. You'll have perfectly chilled drinks for every gathering. Don't miss fall appliance savings at the Home Depot. Offer valid October 2nd through October 22nd. U.S. only. See store online for details.
Sound familiar? At Mattress Firm, we understand there are many problems that can keep you up at night, like snoring, aches and pains, or sleeping hot. Our sleep experts have the unrivaled know-how to match you with a sleep system that can help. And now, upgrade to a Tempur-Pedic mattress and get a $300 instant gift, plus $200 off a Tempur-Ergo Smart Base. For the great sleep you deserve, visit Mattress Firm. We make sleep easy. Restrictions apply. See store or website for details.
And welcome back to our True Crime Podcast. Our guest today is Sean Cleary.
Wait, what? We are supposed to be doing a commercial about Cleary's storage, egg, and sports facilities.
Great point, Sean. It was a warm summer evening in 1978 when a young man with a hammer...
Whoa, again, not a true crime podcast. I want to talk about Cleary designing the building of your dreams.
In a world where things aren't what they seem.
Okay, give me that. Good grief. Visit ClaryBuilding.com today and experience the Cleary difference.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios. You know,
there's a time and place for jokes, and I am all for. I grew up on Don Rickles, man. I grew up on George Carlin. I love insult comedy, but there's a time and place for it, and this subject is not necessarily that. Yeah. And especially this month, where we're able to bring attention to it, bring awareness to it, and appreciate the city's effort, along with just this community's effort behind it.
Tricky. I think the trickiest part is the fact that I don't think America was always this way or the world, but we're very isolated. And I think things happen in our own little bubbles in our homes and nobody else is really there. Accountability's not there. And that's part of the issue, but it's not an easy solution there either because you don't necessarily want to get super involved in everybody's lives to the point where then that gets convoluted. But at the same time, if the signs are there, things should be said, yeah. And it should be said to everybody that's involved so that, you know, we can bring it out, especially to the kids that are kind of the innocent survivors of it all. But yeah. At the same time, they're going to grow up into adults. And if there is no other path for them, most likely they're going to end up going down the same road.
Keep in mind, if you or somebody you know is struggling or dealing with this, or you just want to know more, find out more at familyctr.org, familyctr.org. Shout out to our Wisconsin Rapids Family Center. It is also a pedestrian safety month. Perfect time of the year to do this with our kids being back in school and stuff, and having to keep an eye out for some of that. But also, Wisconsin's white cane law is brought up with this. This requires drivers to stop at least 10 feet from pedestrians using a white cane on service or service animal, reinforcing the need for driver awareness. There's never a bad time for this, bring awareness, no matter what the topic is or what we're talking about. But this was another one important enough to where you made another proclamation on this one.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it goes a long ways on every aspect, like you're saying. You know, it's not too often that you're going to see somebody with a cane walking, but certainly be aware of it. But ultimately, be aware of people. And I do see, you know, I'm happy to see, especially, you know, with the schools and the drop-offs and people are stopping and being cautious, letting people, pedestrians walk through. I do see a lot of that I think we need to work on where people are trying to get to that, you know, through that red light at the end when it's way past the yellow light. That can be really dangerous. And I just encourage everybody to slow down, including myself. You know, we all get in the mindset where we got to get to the next place. We got the next meeting to get to. Take that moment, because that moment could actually save somebody's life, including your own. So in all aspects, just slow down, be more patient. You know, we have one life to live. We got to, you know, make the most of it and keep it as long as we can. So
being an aware driver is best for you and the other drivers. And I actually feel like you might enjoy your driving a little bit more, too, by doing that. So
it's a win-win. You should enjoy the downtime in between. So
speaking of the Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Matt Zacher, along with our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. And Matt, wanted to get a little bit of a construction update. I know that here on the west side of town, we've been seeing a lot of work being done. And in fact, over by my folks' house, I've mentioned this to you before, there's a back-to-back streets kind of being worked on right now. A lot of workers, a lot of construction going on in the city. How is that going? Are things on time, especially as we're getting closer to colder weather here? Yeah. As somebody who used to work this job and everything, I know what it's like as it gets colder out there. We on time? How is it going?
Yeah, I think everybody's doing a great job. Again, these are great people that we have. I mean, we have a construction company at our fingertips, as well as a engineering company to help them, guide them when they need to in terms of what they're doing. They're doing a great job. There's a lot of things like this is the kind of time of the season where the major projects are coming to an end, and then they start working on all these smaller things that we can fit in before the snow flies or the ground freezes. And we are looking more and more at that, like how can we help? How can we help development? Because we have the resources to do it. So I think it's very important to understand you know, what we're doing and why we're doing it. And again, the crew is great, and they're hardworking and smart people. Very fortunate to have at our disposal. So we're fortunate there. We did do a lot of communicating this last month on the state highways. We did a program with the Wisconsin League of Municipalities. Wisconsin League of Municipalities.
Couldn't think of it either. Sorry.
And they do a great job bringing together communities. They came out to our community, said, "Hey, let's talk about your connecting highways, which are the state highways that run through our city, which is 54, 13, 73, and 34. Just learned a lot about them and where they come from, where they go to. But the fact that, you know, obviously A Street and part of the expressway on the west side here is what people complain about the most. We get money to keep them going. We do such a great job keeping them going that the state puts them out further and further because they're able to be navigated somewhat comfortably yet. I mean, out by Tractor Supply, we know it's a mess, and you know, we're still working on maybe a better solution as to how to smooth it out a little bit. But in the fact that it's there and it's protected for another couple of years, 2028 is when they look to tear that up and redo that, and then 32 is where they come halfway back to the expressway or the intersection on the expressway there. So that's all going to be redone by 32. But again, we have to get to 32 in order to get to that point. Not an easy thing, though, to navigate with the state and having everybody involved in that.
We've talked about this actually with Mayor Blazer quite a bit and everything. And Shane was very, you know, not only letting us look behind the curtain a lot of this stuff, but to be honest, and I'm sure he would admit this too. He was honest with about it. Would be off air plenty. It was frustrating working with the state in this, because there's we want to get this done. Oh, we are so close to getting this done, but then there's new people in office or there's another regime coming in. Some of these factors that just can throw that off. I think it's really important for people to keep that in mind when we're talking about this stuff and when we bark, to be honest. I mean, I don't think anybody is saying, hey, if you got a complaint or you got something to say, we want to hear it. But it's understanding the right places to go with those barking and everything. I talk about this with Lance Plimmel a lot.
Yeah.
We'll have people complain to him about something, and he's like, well, I'm not in charge of that.
Yeah.
Complaining is fine. That's being an American.
Yeah.
Just go to the right sources for it and everything. And that's, you know, a little bit more, worrisome to me than almost the complaint of, you know, the so many people nowadays don't even seem to know the three branches of government and what they do and what they're in charge of.
Right.
I feel like that kind of thing is much just as important as what your complaints might be.
Yeah, you open up a couple of different cans of worms there. But the big part, I think, is, just understanding that the state controls it and the state is a bigger bureaucracy than the city is and that the county is. And they have a process.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcast.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The Farmers for Free Trade RV rolled across to Wisconsin yesterday, gathering stories for Washington, D.C. from farmers impacted by tariffs. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Thursday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. What are they hearing? We're going to share that with you next.
Farming has no set hours, no weekends off. The work can feel endless. But wrapping up that last acre makes it all worth it. At Rank Seed, we get it. We know the pain and joy of farming because our family's been doing it since 1846. Our seed will work as hard as you do. We think you'll crack a smile when the combine rolls. Rank Seed. Results since 1846.
Brian Keel is the executive director of the Farmers for Free Trade Movement, and he was in Westby, Wisconsin yesterday. The goal of their caravan is to gather stories from the heartland that they'll be sharing in Washington, D.C.
Well, as we've been traveling and as we've traveled through Wisconsin, we're talking with farmers and we're listening. And we're hearing the same story everywhere we go, which is that farmers are having a hard time right now. That input costs, whether that's fertilizer or tractor parts or farm chemicals, they're more expensive than they used to be. Part of that's because we're putting tariffs on stuff coming into our country. We're putting a tax on it, and that's raising our prices. And then commodity prices are low. We're having a hard time selling our soybeans and our corn, and farmers are really getting squeezed in the middle of that.
Brian Keel, executive director of the Farmers for Free Trade Movement in Wisconsin yesterday. Their RV will travel approximately 2,500 miles, started in Nebraska, will end in Washington, D.C. with an event featuring the motorcade RV and participating members of Congress. Markets are next.
They say that good things come in threes, and now Pivot Bio Proven G3 is proving it. The first proven product with three modes of action is now available to feed more nitrogen, boost nutrient uptake, and amplify yield potential. Proven G3 locks in at the roots to deliver steady nutrition when and where your corn needs it most. Lock in and learn more at pivotbio.com/provenG3.
On Wednesday, the barrel cheese went up 3 cents to 174. 40-pound block cheese was unchanged. AA butter up three at 167 a pound. The November Class 3 milk that goes into cheese this morning's up a nickel at 1634. December's up two at 1642. In overnight trade, December corn's up a half at 417. November soybeans up three and a half at 1010. July new crop wheat currently down a penny and three quarters, 537 a bushel. Just a quick snapshot on where the numbers stand as we roll our way into a Thursday trade session. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
Hi, meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Mostly cloudy skies today with a few showers around, mainly later in the afternoon, highs in the lower 60s. Scattered showers tonight, perhaps a rumble of thunder as well, lows in the lower 50s. On Friday, partly sunny and warm for mid-October, highs in the low to mid-70s. Right now, it's 51.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I lack a wheelchair-accessible shelter, When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5:30, I dive into the controversy over Stephen A. Smith's commentary about Jasmine Crockett. Can a sports commentator turn into a politician? I think not.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Before we visit with Cindy Greening to talk about the No Kings rally, a reminder that you can get our newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. And in there, this morning, Ellie writes a note to remind us that on Fridays, she's looking to highlight local businesses. And sometimes it's local businesses overall, but this time around, this week, it's a much more specific. It is local pizza places. She calls them pizza places. I call them pizza joints. But if you got a favorite local pizza joint, send in a note to her, tell her about it, maybe send a photo as well, what makes the pizza so good, or give us a website so we can link to it. And she's going to put some of those in tomorrow morning's newsletter and certainly in future newsletters as well. So again, click subscribe in the banner at the top of our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com. Cindy Greening is with Chippewa Valley Indivisible, one of many groups planning rallies in, last I counted, 85 places around Wisconsin coming up this weekend. It probably is more by now. And so not just the big cities, all kinds of small communities where people want to get out and make a statement about what they're seeing under the current administration. And Cindy Greening joins us now to tell us more about it. Cindy, good morning. How are you?
Hi, Pat. My count of this morning to get ready for this is 97.
97. There you go.
97 as of this morning. So we've got Brule, we've got Spooner, Hayward. We got them all over the place. Amory, you know, Rice Lake, little bitty Rice Lake is in the party. Rhinelander, of course.
Oh, my goodness. I read through every one of them on air yesterday and was amazed at the places, you know, like Eagle River, yes. Antigo, Marinette, Menominee, you know, Prescott, little Juddville in Door County. All of these places are holding rallies on Saturday. Now, they're all at various times. Some might be as early as 9:30. Some might be noon. There might be some in the afternoon. So what you want to do is you want to head to the website nokings.org to learn more. There is a big map on there. You can zoom in. You can click on the dot of the place that interests you. Cindy, why? Because you did this in June as well with a big turnout. Why do it again? Why is there that appetite out there to again have protests across the nation?
I think, one of the things is we're seeing a lot bigger numbers this time. Indivisible is guessing we might double. We had 4,500 in Eau Claire, so if it doubles, we'll have 9,000. Big numbers are easy for Eau Claire because, you know, it's a very Democratic area. But like in Little Bitty Chippewa, we had 362, and the number of signups in Chippewa are already well over double that. So I assume that's why a lot of the small towns are getting in. I think a lot of the folks are getting upset with what they're seeing in Chicago, in Portland, this thing about sending troops to, you know, abduct our neighbors. But I also think it's economic issues, the things that are going on with soybeans and like how much groceries cost. I think people who maybe may not have been paying attention because they don't use news sources that cover it are starting to feel it. And so what's happening is people are seeing they need to get out in the streets. Plus, you know, the congressional folks, especially on the Republican side, are not holding strong. And we have a few of those, as you know. And so the Democratic folks, you know, they can't hold it alone, and they need us to come and get their back. We got to hold, you know, we got to cover their back for them and start to stand up so that people know we think this is a democracy and that the United States is by, for, and of the people. And we really lean into our government should work for us, everyone included and no one left out. And our money should help us and not just the billionaires and the millionaires and all the folks who are getting rich off this administration.
We're talking to Cindy Greening from Chippewa Valley Indivisible about the No Kings rallies coming up this weekend. And yesterday I went back and looked at your interview with Selena Heller about the event in June. And the joy on your face when you realized that this crowd was not only filled with everyday Americans who are progressive in nature, but moderate in nature, or even Republican in nature, who to them, I mean, they feel politically homeless right now because they don't want this degree of authoritarianism. But talk about, you know, the happiness that these are folks who could have just stayed home, but they want their voices to be heard as well.
You know, I have members of my family who voted for the other side, and we are seeing shifts in our family, in our community. We have people coming forward and talking about the big, ugly bill, talking about what's going on with healthcare. There have been a lot of healthcare stories lately about, you know, the thing, you know, ABC News covered it, and then last night, WAU. So there's been a lot of coverage about how we're struggling because our hospitals have closed. And they'll always say on the end, yeah, they're opening a new one, but that's 2028. That's a long time for people to get taken care of. So I think people want to come out, and we just sing and we walk, we march. We don't do a lot of, you know, political speeches or stuff. At our events, at our No Kings, we march through the community. We carry signs. We're going to be wearing inflatables. We got folks wearing crazy things like dinosaurs and axolotls and stuff like that, chickens. And then we've got folks who are just, you know, carrying signs. We also have an activist band. We've got an empty bucket drum band that's going to play and march with people. So we've got we'll have four lines going out of Owen Park at Eau Claire. Chippewa will be one march. But there will be people will just be, you know, singing and chanting and having a good time. And they love to have, you know, clever costumes. I mean, like, Portland's leading the way. Let's be honest. The Frog Brigade is killer. But even like what they're doing down in, you know, Chicago is really helping with just, you know, showing up. And that's the biggest thing we see, is that when people show up and say, like, this is our country and we want to stand for it and we want to bring back the values where everyone is taken care of and included, then we see that people want to be here and they want to have a good time.
And a part of the point of the costumes and things is, again, to attack this ridiculous notion that these are, you know, people from who are domestic terrorists, who are prone to violence and things like that. When, you know, the fact of the matter is, I'm not aware. Maybe I missed the meeting notices. Have you been to these Antifa meetings, and did you get your George Soros check and I just missed it somehow? I get a feeling, you know, this is more like regular Americans than paid agitators.
It is. I wish someone would have them reach out to me, because none of us get paid. We have been rallying in Eau Claire and Chippewa for 6 months now, every week. And a lot of the folks are 65 plus because they can get out during the day. But now we're having college students show up. We have high school students who are joining us. And so nobody's getting paid. They're there out of their commitment and love for this country.
Now, by the way, because, and we don't know if or when anything untoward might happen, but there is the possibility, given the climate on the political right now, that there may be people that try to, you know, heckle or worse. And I know that what I've seen is a real forceful set of instructions about essentially don't take the bait. And stay focused on what it is that you're there to do, the message you're there to deliver.
I'm glad you brought that up. You know, that we are seeing, I will be honest and tell you, I am seeing escalating trolls on the Indivisible page. Mostly, it's always white men.
It is.
But what I've noticed, they really react to the No King signs or any of the protest signs. And it's escalating right now. So the other side is doing a good job of making people be afraid of us, which is crazy, you know. But what we do is we tell people, don't feed the trolls. They're not going to change our mind. We're not going to change theirs. We stand for their right to free speech. If they want to stand on a corner and heckle us, just walk on by. We all get to be out and say our piece. And so we're all just marching together. We have trained our folks. We have over 75 folks that are acting as event marshals. They've been trained in de-escalation, how to handle it. We have a good relationship with both Eau Claire and Chippewa Police Departments. So they know what, you know, they know what the route plans are. We have, you know, direct contacts there. They stay in touch with us and plan so that everything stays safe. So we have things in place. So I'm expecting a little heckling. We had it last week at the rally. And sometimes, you know, when people drive by at the rallies, they honk and wave. But then there's the other group that gives us the half a peace sign, you know.
And that, I mean, that's America. If you keep it at that point, if you keep it above board that way, I was interested.
Exactly.
You talked about four different lines going out. So there's not a single route for protesters who want to do some parading. And it really shows the how things have kind of become a bit more sophisticated. You've taken the lessons that you learned from June in order to make these protests more effective.
Yeah, well, when we only had one line going out, and that 4,500 people, they actually crossed themselves. Someone was running a camera when it happened, and you could hear the roar coming from the crowd because they were excited there were so many of them. So if it doubles this time, we've created four possible routes. We've reached out to UWEC, to the students there. So we have a route that goes over there. We have a route, the same route that goes down to Phoenix Park. We have another one that goes over two bridges for the people who want to be real visible. And for the people who don't want to be visible at all, we march them around the community down Water Street and then Lake. So we've created four routes and more. We also have a low mobility route, which is basically in front of Owen Park. So for the folks that want to come out, because we've heard there are a lot, I don't know if you're familiar with the classics. We've heard there are a lot of folks, 92, 91, who we got a 91-year-old coming, you know, from, she's here with her daughter from Tennessee. She's like, can I come? Is there a place for me? And it's like, absolutely. In Owen Park, we have a small route in there. So just showing up to stand for our country and how much they love it and want to protect it, we got a good spot for them too.
We are talking to Cindy Greening from Chippewa Valley Indivisible. And if you want to learn more about where there is a No Kings rally in your community, go to nokings.org. It frankly, Cindy, might be easier to describe where there isn't going to be a rally this weekend.
I know. Because when one popped up in Brule and Amory, I couldn't believe it. You know, it's like Rice Lake. It's like they're all over the place. It's so exciting for me.
And I mean, having lived or having worked in you know, West Bend and other places that are heavily Republican, and yet there are going to be rallies there because last time around they were well attended as well. There will be rallies in Brookfield and Waukesha, Muskego, Union Grove, as well as, you know, Racine, Kenosha, but also Shorewood. Just no shortage of communities, so that nobody will have to go far to be part of one of these events. And I'm just continued to be amazed at just all of the different areas you talked about. It can be just frustration overall, but it could be economic. It could be about healthcare. It could be about the military being sent to American streets. Everybody's got some kind of reason to attend and just stand for their particular part of the political spectrum.
The data centers and water and climate. I mean, we are seeing people really reacting. And what we say to people is, you know, America's under attack. It's time to stand up and help and protect her. So pick your area, pick your line, get involved, and just, you know, we're stronger together. Let's not leave out Menominee.
No,
friends in Menominee. Okay, I didn't say them. It's like, wait a minute, Menominee. We didn't say Menominee. Okay, sorry.
You're such a good Chippewa Valley person. Where you got to include Menominee if you're going to mention Chippewa Falls and Eau Claire. And but look, Ladysmith, Amory, you know, have them. Phillips and Rhinelander, all of these places that you can find over at nokings.org. And put them all together. We are looking forward to seeing the video later of the turnout in all of these many places. And again, it is really something that you've got 75 people that are helping organize this just for the Eau Claire one alone, which again is at Owen Park, 10 a.m. Saturday. Again, check the website for the exact time and location near you. Cindy Greening from Chippewa Valley Indivisible, thank you so very much.
Thank you, Pat.
All right. Good to see you, and good luck. Hope everything goes well tomorrow. All right, coming up in our 8 o'clock hour, we'll talk to Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXCO, see what stories he's following in the Wausau area. We'll talk to Sean O'Malley about your money and the markets, and Joe Sopecki will be joining us as well. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Okay, I have to tell you. I was just looking on eBay, where I go for all kinds of things I love, and there it was.
That hologram trading card. One of the rarest, the last one I needed for my set. Shiny like the
designer handbag of my dreams. One of a kind. eBay had it, and now everyone's asking, ooh, where'd you get your
windshield wipers? eBay has all the parts that fit my car. No more annoying. Just beautiful.
Millions of finds, each with a story. eBay. Things, people, love.
As the year winds down, it's time for a financial tune-up. Here are some steps to consider. If you're 73 or older, you'll need to take required minimum distributions from traditional retirement accounts to avoid a 25% penalty on any amount you should have withdrawn but didn't. And if you're still working, consider ramping up your pre-tax retirement contributions. Not only will this help your future self, but it might reduce your current tax bill. Now is a good time to review your investments. Did they perform as expected? Do they still match your goals? You may need to rebalance. One more thing. If you've had major life changes like marriage, divorce, or a new baby, review the beneficiary designations on all bank and brokerage accounts. These often override what's written in your will. Taking care of these and other financial tasks now can help you start the new year on solid ground.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
Building confidence and changing lives every day. The SWC YMCA is here for your family, located in the heart of Wisconsin Rapids. Welcome fall with a splash by attending the group swimming lessons provided for all ages. It might be cool outside, but it's always warm inside the pool. Go online today at www.swcymca.org for class information and sign up. The SWC YMCA is here for all ages, from youth to silver sneakers, where a healthy way of living is everything the YMCA supports. Come start your health journey together.
Are National Guard troops generally trained in law enforcement? No. National Guard troops like those President Donald Trump deployed to American cities in recent months to crack down on crime are not generally trained in law enforcement. For example, police officers in Washington, D.C. receive 21 training modules in criminal procedure, but Guard members receive none. Their primary training is focused on crowd control. Milwaukee's police union president suggested troops should be sent to Wisconsin's largest city. Governor Tony Evers called National Guard troops the, quote, wrong people, unquote, for fighting crime. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
State controls it, and the state is a bigger bureaucracy than the city is and that the county is. And they have a process that they go through. We are encouraging them to be able to change their statutes or their rules within the DOT to say, you know what, Wisconsin Rapids could actually do what we're proposing to do, the project. They could do it at probably a third of the price that we're going to end up doing this at. But in the end, their hands are tied. Keep in mind, these are all great people that work for the DOT in this region, and they're doing what they can with the rules and regulations that they have on them. So it's not like you can point your finger at one person and say it's your fault or one group. It's not. It's the fact that we continue to exist within governmental entities that are run by bureaucracies, and the red tape that we've put in place over the years 150 years, you know, that's what we're fighting. So we're, in essence, we're fighting ourselves.
It takes a group to get anything done. And it takes a group oftentimes as well to, you know, sometimes it's not necessarily getting things done. It's a group of, it's always more than one factor. Yeah. I think about this in sports all the time when one, you know, people look at one play and think that ruined the game. Like, no, yeah. no, there's a billion things that happen. Yeah. That's just the one you're focusing on. I did want to mention this. Sheriff Becker was in last month, we were touched on this, or earlier this month, and we touched on this a little bit, that the TV show Cops is filming here in Wisconsin Rapids, and I just wanted to bring it up and mention it, in part because it's kind of interesting for the community. I know they were interested. I know you probably didn't have a lot of chance to interact with them or anything like that, but it brings up something that I think in this area that we don't get a chance to touch on very often. Mm-hmm. That, you know, Central Wisconsin in general, but specifically Rapids and Rapids, our area here, there is some notoriety here. There are some things here that bring people here. And when we talked about this new jail, and I've been doing this job long enough to know when this was very far-fetched, it was almost science fiction to think we'd have a new jail, to the point where it started to look like really possible, and all of a sudden we're putting shovels in the ground to where we are now, where we actually have this new jail and where they film Cops. These are the kind of things that we don't think about with this jail when we were first trying to get people to, hey, this is important, we can't kick the can any longer, we need to build this thing, and finally getting to a point where we do. I think it's important for people to keep in mind going forward when we're talking about building this, or we want to bring this company to town, or something along these lines. There's the stuff we see, and then there's the things that we have no idea what we could get out of this, we could turn this into. Mm-hmm. You see this all the time in sports. They build a new stadium, and yes, the local sports team plays there, but they also have concerts there, they have those things. We're seeing it with our, 2000 County State Field that we have here, newish field that we have over by Lincoln and everything. We've been able to host softball. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've been able to host tournaments there and everything. So yes, it's a, you know, just a new jail. What does that mean? Well, it means a lot of different things, and it helps our economy in a lot of different ways that I don't think we always see. Mm-hmm. I just think it's good to keep that in mind going forward here when it comes to these things.
Yeah. You kind of brought to my, thought process something that's come to my attention a few times recently, and that's some, again, don't want to go too far in the internet, but at the same time, the internet, a lot of people are looking at it. I mean, it is a news source now, whether it's true or not true what you see, but there has been some videos going around about Wisconsin, particular about Wisconsin Rapids, and I wouldn't mind just bringing them up right now and just saying, like, you know, there's a lot of people that can say negative things about any community, and this has to revolve around, you know, that we've been known in the as the drug capital and the crime capital. And I'm like, with people calling me and complaining about that, I say, first of all, look around. Like, this is an amazing community. And if this stuff is happening, that means we're doing it in such a way that it's not affecting you. Yeah, there's a few neighborhoods that, you know, that we know are a struggle because of low income, and these are the choices, and we got to protect the kids that are there and make sure that we have at least addressing it and having a way out. But at the same time, don't believe everything you hear. Look at your community. You know, if you see people on the internet talking bad about Wisconsin Rapids that live here and saying it's dying, stand up to them. Like, it all comes down to what we believe is real. And we believe, what I want to believe and what I see every day, is new people moving in, mothers walking their babies around the river, everybody having a good time talking. We're not, you know, yeah, there's sirens out there because we got to take care of business. But it's saying that's not overrunning our community. And we have a great community with a great group of people in it. And we should be proud of that. And it's only going to get better if we envision it getting better and then work every day to make it better. And again, you can't tell people not to naysay, because it's America. It's a free country and everybody's got to get their clicks one way or the other. But, you know, it's not necessarily the truth. And you can fight it by using your voice in the right way.
I've been lucky enough to do this job for a while. I've talked to listeners for many years, and I've heard compliments, I've heard complaints, I've heard all kinds of things about this city. And I say the same thing to them that I'll say right now. What are you doing about it?
Yeah.
Because it's one thing to bark. And again, that is your right. You have every ability to. But how are you impacting things? How are you making things better? Yeah. Because if you're just a dog barking, well, we got a lot of dogs doing that already. Like, mm-hmm. What we don't have is a lot of people putting things into action. Making this area safer, making this area feel better and stuff. And there's things that you can do to do that that are very simple in day-to-day life that don't even take you to getting out of your house almost. Yeah. It's just being aware and being in tune with your community. And I have to say this too, because this is something that I deal with from my hometown and from where I'm from. And anytime you see Chicago in the news, you hear about it talked about like it's a third world country or it's a war zone or something like that. There are certain neighborhoods in Chicago, and we're talking places that you probably wouldn't go anyway, that yes, can be quite dangerous. Mm-hmm. But that city could not be. They've worked so hard to make that city safer. They've worked so hard to make that city, hey, we're a tourist destination. Hey, we're Chicago. We're the center of the whole country here and everything. Yeah. And it bothers me. It bothers me quite a bit when I hear people say this. And I know I'm doing this show in Wisconsin and nobody cares what a fib says. Yeah. But what you're talking about is something that happens just the same thing there. And to think of anybody missing out on some of the culture and the beauty of that city just because of a fear that isn't even genuine.
Right.
It reminds me of what you're saying about our area here. And something that for me, because when I was a kid, I was a knucklehead. I own that. I admit it. I'm not proud of it, but I was. And I did not appreciate this area. I didn't understand what it was giving to me and my family. Mm-hmm. Because when I was a kid, it was almost a war zone in Chicago. It's gotten much better. When it comes to being out here, I can't help but see the positives in this area.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcast.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump confirms he's authorized covert CIA operations in Venezuela. CBS's Weijia Zhang with more from the White House.
Asked if the CIA has authority to take Maduro out, President Trump said it would be ridiculous for him to answer that question, adding he believes Venezuela is, quote, feeling the heat.
Hamas has returned the remains of two more Israeli hostages, but says it will have difficulty finding the bodies of the 19 still missing. UN Ambassador Mike Waltz tells Fox,
there are still two Americans there, and we will do everything to get them out. There's an entire task force of senior American officials, senior American officers. Central Command has 200 troops there to help with this.
Greece is ready to keep people at their desks for a long time. CBS's Vicky Barker at the foreign desk.
The Greek parliament has just voted to allow some employers to demand 13-hour working days.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.